Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Amen. Amen. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. I feel like shouting today. Amen. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 28:16 and verses following. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about the church, its worship, and work. Amen. The church, its worship, and its work. For 78 years, this church has been in the Four Corners area. And primarily, we wanted to concentrate on worship and work. Amen. For this is what the Lord has left us to do. Amen. Amen. And so we have a mantra that says, God's program for friendship is come and worship, go and work. Let me say that again. God's program for friendship is come and worship, go and work. Now, when I think about the church and its worship and its work, we have to realize first the church. The church is a body of baptized believers. But more than that, it is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head and we are the body. Amen. Jesus said, and if we would go back a few chapters, Matthew 16, upon this rock, I will build my church. So the Lord Jesus has ownership of the church. One of the things, even as a young preacher, 45 years ago at coming to this church, I realized that this is the Lord's church. And you are the Lord's people. And the one thing that I've learned is the Lord esteems his people highly. Amen. The Lord has a problem when you mess with his folk. Amen. Amen. Even a person as able and gifted as Moses was, Moses was not able to go into the promised land because he spoke ill to the people of God. So one truth that I've learned is be careful how you talk to God's people. Amen. God loves them. And I want you to know I love you. Amen. Now let me quickly say, when we talk about the church, amen, the church is not comprised of perfect people. Y'all stay with me. Amen. We have people that have flaws. But in the midst of people having flaws and not perfect people, we serve a perfect God.
Amen.
Amen. And so we don't look at the flaws in the people. We look at the God that we serve.
Amen.
If you look at the text, verse 16 tells us, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. If you would go back to Matthew 16 and verse 30. He had told them that I'm going before you into Galilee, and there you shall see me. Now, the one thing that I want us to understand about being followers in the church is we have to learn how to follow God's word. If the Lord said it, he'll cause it to come to pass. He tells them to go into to Galilee and there he will see them again. Oh, praise his holy name. And then when he, verse 17 says, now watch this. And when they saw him, says they worshiped him. I want us to understand, when we come into the Lord's house, we ought to come with an idea of worship. Amen. We want to come in seeing him. Amen. Too oftentimes we come into the Lord's house with things that are not suitable for worship. And as a result, we can't be all that God has ordained for us to be. But when we understand who God is, amen, we want to worship him. Now, the word worship means to bow down in awe. Amen. That does not necessarily mean that you are bound this way, which is all good to do. But in your mind and in your spirit, you are bowing down to him. And you do it because he's worthy to be bowed down to. Amen. Amen. We bow to him in reverent homage because he is the divine creator of the universe. There is no other God like our God. Somebody said, well, give me a snapshot of how I ought to worship him. Well, glad you asked. Amen. Look at Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah says in chapter number 6, I believe it is, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. There were two significant things that occurred that year. Number one, Uzziah died. But number two, he saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, Isaiah said he was high and lifted up. Now, I don't know about your God, but my God is high and lifted up. And not only is he high and lifted up, but Isaiah said his train filled the temple. I don't know about you, but when I come in, there is the moving of the Holy Spirit. From the time I walk in, I know this is the holy place. Some of us come with foolishness, but I want you to come in the Lord's house knowing this is the holy place. We come to meet our God. Well, somebody said, if God is everywhere, then I got God outside. True, but when your God meets my God, now we've got praise and adoration. Amen. Not only am I worshiping him, I'm bowing down to him, but now I'm praising him because I realize who he is. And it also shows me who I am. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. There are three things that I want us to know about worship. Number one, we have to understand we worship him by faith. Amen. The people believed. Amen. And when you believe in your heart that God is, amen, you can see him for who he really is. Now, you see, there are some folk that don't believe all this was created by an almighty God. There are those who believe this evolved from some kind of an amoeba, amen, that got stimulated. It jumped in a pond of stagnant water, and then he jumped back out because it was nasty, and then he had legs. And you know, but that's foolishness. Amen. We like to believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And any God that can create all of this is worthy of our praise. Amen. I don't know about you, but he's worthy of our praise. And so we'll, as the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord. When shall I do it? At all times, his praise. See, that's part of our problem. We don't know how to praise him. But when we come into his house with thanksgiving and into his court with praise because of who he is, you are high and lifted up. Your train fills the temple. Now, if you go a little bit further with Brother Isaiah, Isaiah said, when that happened, amen, I saw myself. I saw myself as a wretch undone. Amen. When you start, you know, we usually like to compare ourselves to other sick folk. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. But I want you to know that if you want to compare yourself to somebody, compare yourself to a whale person. The only whale person that's been on this people planet is Jesus. Amen. It's like somebody with pneumonia telling somebody with tuberculosis, I'm better off than you are. Amen. You both sick. Amen. What you need is to look at a whale man. And Jesus said, when you want to see a whale man, look at me. Have I got a witness? Amen. Now, when I understand that it is by faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Haven't been to heaven, but I know it's there. Haven't died, but I know that when I close my eyes, amen, as the old folks said, you know, they had such imagery when they talked about it. Yeah. They said, when I die, he's going to let the angel swing low.
Yeah.
Sweet chariot, take me home. That's what God is going to do. He's going to let you just sleep away and wake up on the other side. But that's another preaching. So number one, we have to understand that for us to truly worship him, it is by faith. Amen. We know that he's real. When you know that God is real, you can glorify him. Amen. 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 Number two, we have to realize that to worship God, amen, the scripture tells us in John 14 that Jesus Christ is truth. John 14:6. Now, in John 4:24, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. There has to be authentic worship. Amen. You can't fake, amen, the worship that comes from the heart. When God has done something for you, you don't have to try to put on a show. The Holy Spirit will make you do something. Well, let me see if I can make this plainer to you. The Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind, that something happened in that assembly. And the folk that were observing it said, there's something wrong with those folk. It's like they drunk on new wine. Amen. They didn't have to start moving because they were faking it. The Holy Ghost on the inside. And I got to tell you, he still does that. Amen. Amen. When the Holy Ghost come, you want to be still and you don't want folk to know that you are there. But all of a sudden your foot starts to move and you try to hold your foot still and the other one starts to move. And you try to hold your feet still and your hands start to move. And you know that God is real. Have I got a witness? Now, the scripture says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Therefore, there can be no pretense, no hypocrisy in true worship. You got to be real when you worship the master. Now, part of the problem with religious folk is that they know how to put on a show. Go ahead, Pastor. Because they've been around church long enough to know when they wave their hands, when they say hallelujah. You know, they know all that stuff. But when you reel with it, well, let me give you two examples. And they are found in Luke 18. It's two people went up to pray or to worship. One was a publican, would be called a sinner. The other was a Pharisee, the righteous Pharisee. And when the Pharisee prayed, he prayed, the Bible said, within himself, Lord, I thank you that I'm good. I'm not like that publican. I pay my tithes. I come to church every time they got the church open. I do all that kind of stuff. And the poor publican said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. The scripture says this man went down justified. which tells us that I don't care how eloquent you might say it, if you're not real, God is not hearing it. You might not be able to articulate like somebody else, but if you're able to say, God, have mercy on me, the Lord will have mercy on you. I don't know about your God, but I know my God will have mercy, because God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Amen, amen. And so not only has there got to be faith, but there has to be truth. Yeah, you see, some of us, we know how to do all that church isms. But if it's not real, it means nothing. Amen. Paul said it is as a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. But worship is so blessed in the ears of our Lord when he knows it's real. Because he knows it's coming from someone that means it. God, you've been good to me. And I don't know about you, but I can certainly say, God, you've been good to me. Amen, amen, amen. It's kind of like David said, God, you've been so good to me. Seem like you've been better to me than anybody else. Well, the truth of the matter is he's good to all of us, but I don't know how good he's been to you, but I know. I know what God has been to me. Amen. God is a keeper. Amen, amen. Somebody said, I sure am sorry you fractured your wrist. I'm glad I didn't bust my head. Amen. God is a good God. Amen. When some of us are looking at our problems and we ought to see some thanksgiving there. Lord, you kept me in spite of what could have been. I told somebody, I'm glad I was operating on grass and not in the driveway. Because I have a tendency to get in the driveway and pick tangerines. I'm glad I wasn't picking tangerines. Amen. I could fall on the grass and all is well. Amen. There's some things I can't do, but there's so much I can do. Hallelujah. I can raise my hands and say, thank you, Lord. I'm able every now and then to get a little. His mercies are everlasting. But the Bible tells us that in Luke 18, when the Pharisee went home, amen, he went home rejected because he prayed in religious pride. Amen. But when we are serious with the Lord, amen, the Lord knows our sincerity and he's willing, amen, to hear us when we pray. Amen. Your worship is as a sweet savor in the nostril of Almighty God. And then thirdly, I'm hurrying. And thirdly, amen. He says that in John 4:24, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now that's where I really was headed toward. Amen. The Holy Spirit. It is true. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Spiritual worship is worship that is directed by the indwelling Holy Spirit. When he is on the inside, amen, he takes over. That's what I love about the Holy Ghost. When he comes in, amen, I don't care how dressed up you are. Amen. You're not worried about what you got on. Amen. You're not worried about whether your wig might move to the side. Amen. Because he's operating. Amen. If you're so concerned about keeping your wig straight, the Holy Ghost is not there. But when he comes in, you're not worried about any of those external things because something is happening on the inside. Now, maybe you haven't been there yet, but keep on living in him. He'll bring you right there. Amen. Amen. Well, you're not worried about getting on your knees. Amen. Because you know that the Holy Ghost is directing you. Have I got a witness? Amen. When the old Holy Ghost indwells us, amen, he causes us to see God in a whole nother way. And that's the way Isaiah saw him. He saw him in another way. Some of us, when we come in, we see the same old folk. But when the Holy Ghost brings you in, you see great potential. Have I got a witness? Amen. We come in and we see there's a potential for the moving of the Holy Ghost. you realize that there is somebody that's here that's not saved. Somebody that needs to hear the good news. The good news is that God loves you and he's not mad at you. Amen. Some of us still think God is mad at us. He's not mad at you. God loves you. He loves you unconditionally and he wants you to be with him. That's why Jesus could say, I'm going away to prepare a place, and if I go, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know about you, but I want to be with Jesus when I leave here. And I know that I know that I know that I can't leave till my place has been completely prepared. But I want you to know it's coming. Amen. God is a good God. The Holy Ghost tells us that we ought to be able to glorify him in this body. We ought to show that when we come into his house, we come with authentic worship. We come because we bow down before our Creator. We know that he's good and he's good all the time. Isn't it amazing that we say things that they almost become a cliche? But the truth of the matter is God is good. And he is good all the time. But see, some of us don't see the goodness of the Lord. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. Too oft times, and let me just touch briefly on this, because there are those that have been hurt in the church. Somebody hurt you. But I want you to know that God didn't hurt you. God is a God of healing and love. Amen. I don't care what folk do to you or say to you. God never said it and God never hurt you. Amen. Now what do I do? Amen. I pray for those who despitefully use me, but I turn my heart to God. Amen. God is able. What is it we say? Amen. 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 God is able to keep that has been committed unto him. There is balm in Gilead. There is a physician there. God knows how to fix our hurt. And I tell you, there's a danger in being hurt in the church, because hurt people hurt people. But when you love people, you can't love God unless you love people. Come on, talk to me. Amen. How can I love God whom I have never seen and don't love you that I see every day? I gotta love you. And I want to love you because God said to love you. Amen. There's a social redeeming value in all of us. I don't care how bad we are, when he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, there is a spark of divinity in each one of us. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. Amen. Some of us need to recognize that I don't care how bad somebody is, there is still some good in them. I don't care how many times they've been to TDCJ, there's still some good in them. If we would look past TDCJ and see the image of God in them, amen, we can praise God. Part of our problem is we don't want to get past where they've been. Well, the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, we've all got a past. Amen. We want to talk about for all of us. The scripture says we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But I'm glad that there is one who came, washed us whiter than snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Christ. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Somebody here needs to know him today. Can I go ahead and preach? When he comes into your life, he puts clapping in your hands and running in your feet. The joy bells ring when he's in your life. You're able to wave your hands, hallelujah. You're able to say, praise Jehovah, because you know that you know that you know. Somebody here has not been able to experience the joy that comes from knowing the Lord. But I stop by to tell you, his presence is fullness of joy. You want to have a joy, amen, a joy that passes all understanding. Let the Holy Ghost come in and he'll change your life. Can I go ahead and preach? He'll make sense out of nonsensical people. Or somebody needs to hear what I'm saying. You see, you got some folk that will act all crazy, but the Lord will let you know that's all right.
what you see is not necessarily what you get. Can I go ahead and preach? For you see, Saul of Tarsus was a nonsensical man. But when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, the Lord changed him from what he was to what God wanted him to be. And I got a witness here. He's the same God. What he did on yesterday, he's able to do it today. Can you see those disciples that had followed the Lord? Oh, I feel like preaching. That had followed the Lord from the lake of Gennesaret. Their hearts were heavy and they had shed tears. They had seen him die on a cross. But now he gets word from them. Have I got a witness? They get word from him that I'm going before you into Galilee. And there I will see you again. I don't know about you, but I can think about how they felt. The last time they saw Jesus, he looked like he had been treading a wine press all by himself. Have I got a witness? His garments were red from the blood that he had shed. They saw him to a pulp, but now they're going to see the master. And the Bible said when they came to a mountain, and I got a witness, they saw him. And don't you know their hearts leap for joy? This is not the one that had beaten like a pup, but now he's vibrant. He's the living God. They see him and they worship him. Don't you know they bow down in adoration? Oh Lord, I love you. Now there's a PS to this. If you haven't told somebody that you love them, you ought to tell them now, Lord, I love you. And then you ought to tell your wife, baby, I love you. You ought to tell your friend, I love you. Because we don't know when our last time is coming. We ought to say, I love you with the love of Christ. Jesus, the matchless Lamb of God, stood there as they worshiped him. But then he gave them some work. Y'all know they forgot that to him. The Lord had given them some work. He goes down and tells them, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You're going to start first in Jerusalem. And then you're going to go in all Judea. Then you're going to go to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. What the Lord was saying there is, there's four things. Oh, I feel like preaching. There are four things I want you to do. Number one, I want you to go. Number two, make disciples. Number three, disciple the disciples. And then number four, know that I am with you always, even till the end of the age. If you would dissect it for just a moment, please. When I think about what the Lord said, number one, go. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to, have I got a witness, to New Caledonia. You might just need to go to the back room where Bubba is sleeping on the bed when you come to church. Oh, yes. Number two, you say go and then make disciples. You ought to tell somebody about the God you serve. Can I go ahead and tell you, like the old folks said, that he's bread when you're hungry. He's water in dry places. He's a doctor in a sick room. Oh, he's a liar in a courtroom. Tell them about the God you serve. And then number three, you need to disciple the disciples. You need to teach them about the things of God. You got a lot of folk that know about him, but you don't know him. But to know him is to love him. You love me. While I was unlovable, I was headed the wrong way. Well, you had a way to turn me around. He let the Holy Ghost, can I go ahead and preach? He let the Holy Ghost come and catch me, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. Change nobody, do me like Jesus. Change nobody, do me like the Lord. And then number four, he's perpetually with us. Yeah, though I walk, David said, through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. What else can you do? You prepare a table before me in the presence. Come to a close. Think about it. Surely, goodness gonna follow me all the days of my life. When evil comes, he raises up a shield. And then when I mess up, mercy steps in. And I got a witness here. For you see, sometimes you need mercy and not justice. Lord, give me mercy. Messed up, I have no defense, I just blew it, give me your mercy, and the Lord is merciful, he loves us, in spite of ourselves. I'm closing now, but his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What will happen? I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. How long shall I be there? Forever. Somebody tried to figure out. I'm closing now. How long is forever? So you try to put a mathematical equation. They said units, hundreds, thousands, thousands of thousands, 10,000, thousands, thousands. But they ran out of numbers. When the talk got into trillions, there are so many numbers we have, but there's so much into eternity that we can't figure how long I'm gonna be there forever.
For 7-8 years, it has been the purpose. Amen. To come and worship. Go and work. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Why? Night's gonna come. There will be a time when you can. Do all you can while you can. There will come a time when you're no longer able to do it. But I'm glad that for 45 of those 78 years, this preacher has stood here. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you ought to be like Brentwood. No, let me tell you something. Dear members, if you want Brentwood, they're over there. This is friendship. Amen. Somebody said, what's the basis of your ministry?